for listening. We can't believe we're still doing this. We can't believe how much money we spend on time. How much on hockey.
Hello and welcome to episode 32, Randy said, I believe.
Yes, 32. You're absolutely right, Lance.
Who knew we'd make it this far, right? 32, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, Magic Johnson's number. I don't know any NHLers 32. Do you, Coach?
Off the top of my head, no. Sorry.
Well, Magic Johnson's a good representation of Los Angeles. So I am told that the...
You're toad. It's okay. Yeah, he was 32. You're absolutely right. Magic Johnson, point guard, 32. Yeah, there it was.
I mean, don't... like. I thought it was 33. Lance comes up with a number, come on. It's going to be right.
You're right. What was I thinking?
Or got that sports knowledge.
No, he's also... everything's numbers with him.
That's another thing.
Numbers do not escape him. So I'm sorry, Lance. I didn't mean to question you.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm told that the coach has a topic that's going to knock our socks off.
Oh yeah,
and I can't wait to hear what it is.
Coach, you can't oversell. No, you can't, because every time you just like you knock it out of the park. You're like Reggie Jackson in October. Nobody else is going to know what that means. By the way, anybody any kid that's listening will be like, well, who's Reggie Jackson in October? Anyway, but
this might be the one in one World Series game.
Yeah, cannot
this
oversell.
Might be the
coach.
One that goes over as well as the Phillies in the World Series this year.
Go ahead, Coach.
Phillies fans know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't have, I'm going to be honest and just say I only have one of these, but I thought it would be interesting if we all sort of weighed in on the idea of things that coaches say and do that are just absolutely ridiculous and kind of set things up where they set up a straw man and then suggest it to everybody else that that this thing must be true, and everybody pretends it's like the emperor has no clothes. They all pretend that this thing is true. And I'm gonna start out with one example, because this is just the classic, and I see so many coaches, and actually you see it in the NHL, and you see it in professional hockey all the time. And that's the old adage or the comment that a coach will make where somebody will say, who was the best player? And the coach will say, best player in the game of the game, without a doubt, Billy, our goalie. Everybody else was terrible, but Billy kept us in the game. Now, listen, sometimes that's true. So from time to time. But it's less true than it's shared in the hockey world.
Well, yeah, like what if Billy let in nine? You know when we like you lose 11-0 and they still give it to the goalie? And you're like,
yeah,
it'll be like
a 5-4 game. And you lost 5-4. And it's like after the game, the coach will come in and go, you guys were freaking terrible out there, but Billy, you guys should all turn to him and just thank him for keeping you in the game, because Billy, and who was
his back player? Must be sore because he carried you guys
week after week, game after game. It's like you can't ever say, no, coach, you're wrong. Like we all played our heart out, and Billy was good, he was okay, but he didn't carry us. Like nobody, instead of everybody's got to be like, oh, you're right, we're terrible, but thankfully our goalie, it's almost like a mental game that people have to play, where everybody pretends that when you strap the pads on, you're like a deity, and you're close to sainthood, and stopping pucks is I will admit it's very important aspect for any team that you get good goaltending, because we've talked about this a lot too, that, you can have a really good team with a goalie who's not quite up to snuff, and that team will not have good success.
But hey, coach, I got a good one for you. That fits right in with that. I remember a game where we lost 6-1. And as I remember correctly, I was like, this goalie can't stop a beach ball. Like, what's he doing? And I'll never forget that the coach, after the game, he comes stomping over and he yells at all the kids, you let the goalie down. You let him down. That's why we lost 6-1. And I was like, it didn't have to do with the fact that, like, he's spread eagle letting shots go right between his legs every 30 seconds.
Right. He's getting, he's letting in, let in a goal that was shot from on a dumping.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I can say that this, the first time I've ever seen this in a 18-year-old game, there were two dump-ins that went past our goalie this year in the same game. In the same game. Two different goalies. They switched, right, at halfway through. Two dump-in from behind the red, well, right at the red line, basically, right? They're dumping it. And they both went in. Now, I don't know if the coach said that the goalie stood on his head and they lost because of that, but I can tell you that, like, nobody chewed out the goalie. You know, like, that's the other thing. The you know, nobody ever, it seems like, in youth hockey ever says anything to disturb the goalie, because they're precious. And I'm like, I don't know. After that, I'd be like, are you friggin' kidding? There were two dump-in goals. We lost 7-6. Do the math. Come on, right, guys. Let's go. Let's go to bed.
Yeah, we lost a tournament, you know, one time because our goalie, who was not very good all year, just made a couple of egregiously bad plays. And I got to say, it's the only time I've ever seen a coach who was a very even-handed, measured guy say something to a goalie. It's the only time that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And, no, me neither. All he said was, you know, it said something along the lines of, you shouldn't have let those, you know, that those goals, you know, you have to make the save there. And everybody was like, that's just being nice. I mean, these were just horrendous misplays that then, you know, resulted in easy goals for the other team that just took the entire wind out of our team that was killing themselves to, you know, to win
stay
this game.
In the game. Yeah.
And, you know, advance in the tournament. And, you know, afterwards you're sitting there in the locker room, everyone's kind of beat down. And like you're saying, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't matter. Or like you're saying, Lance, I've seen it too, where it's like a 6-1 drubbing or something, 6-2 drubbing. And you just got outplayed, but for some reason, no, the goalie who let in 6 goals. I mean, yeah, sometimes I've seen it. I've seen it where it's like a goalie let in 6 goals and it was an incredible performance because they, you know, it was like 50 shots. But I've also seen games where it's like 6-2 and the shots were like 25-20. And they're praising the goalie for a great performance. It's like, no, that. So anyway, I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to make this about pooping on goalies or anything.
Let's face it, Coach. You are basically running down every goalie, youth goalie that's ever played the game. Remember that when you send your comments to youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Care of Raleigh, if you have anything to say about how he loves to run down.
I feel like I can
and
do this.
All my friends are gay, Raleigh, so go ahead. Well, no, so that's what everybody always says, right? Oh, I'm not bad. I have friends who are.
I'm not bad. I'm saying that I grew up with a goalie in the house, so maybe I have some unresolved antagonism that I need to work through. I don't know.
Okay. That's true. You may be right on that. I'm just saying, you know, I like the topic though, and you're absolutely right.
But I mean, you guys would agree. This is one of these things that just exists in hockey that nobody ever questions. And we've all seen it, and we've all seen the coaches that, you know, throw this out there to the team. Here's the thing. I know that the kids are sitting there and a lot of them are like, yeah, coach, they're thinking that's a bunch of BS. Like,
yeah, McCluskey dorfed it on 3 goals, coach. Is there a way we can just say that out loud and right, and go home?
Instead, everybody's just got to like look, stare at their, you know, their skates. Okay. And
I have one too. Yeah, no, I have one too, but go ahead, coach.
All right, great. This is what I was hoping for. I figured I would
throw
the grenade and then see what happens.
Yeah, no, pull the pin.
Yes, exactly. So this one, so we'll navigate gingerly away from the goalies. But again, this is another one where, like you said, it's just kind of like, you know, like you're getting all this information, and it's kind of a crock at the end of the day, but nobody will call you on, you know, will call them on it. And that was, you know, the boys were getting recruited by this one team a while back, and they were like doing the full court press on us. And so I asked the coach, I said, well, you know, so like, where does Chris, you know, where does he slot in on this team here? What do you see from him? How do you envision him? And, you know, the guy gave us some information. I said, but no. Like, is Chris going to be like first line? Is he going to be second line? I mean, where do you really see him? You know, is he going to end up on the fourth line? And he was like, no. That's not how I run a hockey team. You know, we do things different here. We expect everyone to carry their weight equally. So I don't have lines. There is no fourth line. There is no first line. There is no second line. Right. And then fast forward to the season, and I'm like, that's weird, because Billy P over there seems to be the first guy out every game. And when they roll their lines, like, they may skip this line and that line, but his line goes out on a regular shift every single time. Are you sure you don't have lines? And then I think they even told me at one point when I was kind of questioning things, they're like, well, of course he wasn't in that situation. You know, he's on the, you know, he's like on the fourth line. That's not his job. And I'm like, but I thought we didn't have lines.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So what's yours, Randy?
No. I think you need to explore this some more. You've got some anger here, Coach. Delve into that. Start picking at that.
We've all seen the coaches that just can't bring themselves to sort of be honest about it and say, I've made up my mind who the good players are and who the players I'll play, and then the kids I'd rather not play. And your kid might end up being on the kids that don't play, but I'm not going to admit that.
Well, you know? and the coach, though, can be kind of a dick about that. My kid was leading the league in points as a first line center. And then he recruited some players and they dumped him down to the third line. And so it doesn't matter. You're not safe no matter what. A coach will be a jerk regardless of what you're, because I was like, you know, because people are like, well, if your kid plays hard enough and plays well enough, everything will be fine.
Right.
No, there are people out there that are simply there to do their own thing. And like I said, he was leading the league in points when they dropped him to the third line. And to me, it was like, I was like, are you kidding me, coach? I mean, you know, like, this wasn't a coach that said he didn't have a first, second, and third line. I'm just saying that what you are talking about, there is very little safety from getting your kid dropped if the coach decides he's not the flavor he wants to play. Literally, I was flabbergasted. I've never heard of something like, and I watched it happen. And this guy, I mean, he was such an empty suit, but it doesn't matter.
I have a question on that too.
It just occurred to me that maybe we might want to call these like hockey urban legends or hulls.
Yeah.
I think I know what the urban legend is here, which is the urban legend is that hockey is that playtime is based on effort and playing hard and practicing hard. That's like you even said it, you know, other people, if things aren't going your way, other people say, well, you know, and sometimes they mean well, you know, but like, oh, well, you know, if you just got to work hard. And coaches will play into this and say, yeah, I'm just looking, you know, for effort out there. I'm looking to see who, you know,
Could that play into my question? Yeah,
could your kid move up? Oh, absolutely, if they play hard. And yet I've sit there seen my kid be on a team where the coach just, I don't know what it was. He wasn't happy with him. He didn't like him, whatever. Put him in a place where he wasn't getting a lot of play time. And then I saw my kid go on an absolute tear at the end of the year and score a bunch of super important goals for that team that that had import in the games. There was like game winning goals and stuff like that at the end of the game. Did not move up one spot.
Yeah, it doesn't change it. Yeah,
did not get one extra shift.
The guy figured out what he was doing and decided where your kid belonged.
As little time as you could possibly get. You know, he's just popping in goals out of nowhere when nobody expected them and, you know, helping the team up. Did not get any more opportunity. And when it does happen, if a kid's getting moved around and getting opportunities, it's because the coach already had that in their mind anyway. They like that kid, you know.
Right, because you know that's what I was going to throw out there is the question I was going to ask you, Randy. But that's kind of what the coach just answered. My question was, I was going to say, you know, the other thing that's difficult is when these guys get something locked in their heads, there's nothing you can do to change it. So when he decides that Randy's son is a third liner and this first line guy is just the best player on the team, I've seen it firsthand where, like you said, coach, I've seen the first line guy make two or three blunders in the same game that directly led to goals that cost us the game. And then
we call that shitting the bed, Lance. We call it shitting the bed. But
and then you've got your kid out there, like you said, who's working his butt off and trying to do the right things and make the right plays. And he makes one mistake, gives up the puck, doesn't even lead to a goal, and he's benched the rest of the game. But their first line guy who gave up three goals on stupid plays is still out there throwing him out.
Well, they couldn't bench him. There weren't enough people, but they put him with the lowest, you know, he used to play with like the people that were scoring with him and they dropped him to kind of even out a line that was probably not as, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's fair to say. All I know, he was playing with some first line and he was with players that he got a lot of assists with. And then they decided to, you know, like they said, they added a couple of players, and they're really good players, by the way. I don't begrudge them that, but you know, to dump a kid down to the third line when he's got that much, you know,
well, yeah,
that seems to be, leading, I mean, that just seems like league, such a dick move. Yeah,
because I know this story and the whole, all the things around it, and as somebody who, you know, yes, I'm your friend, but also I can look at the basic inequity of it and just say, wait a second. Like this is a very untraditional set of decisions you made I think the other thing is there was, you know, the truth of the matter in your situation is there was a lot of other political stuff and sort of team dynamic stuff going on into that. I don't think was done purely like there was other stuff involved and it goes into something where this stuff does happen with teams where you got, let's say, a coach who is from an area with a bunch of other kids. And if you just looked at it on the, you know, cut and dry manner and said, well, this kid is not only the leading scorer of the team, but he's like the top, he's leading scorer of the whole league or within the top three. You just don't take that kid and drop him down to the third line because you got two other players, unless these other players are, you know, the best players in the league. You know, if it's a couple of like McDavid's or something. And so, you know, the kids you were talking about.
Then drop them to the second. Also, yeah, it was very, my feeling is are you kidding? I don't.
A lot of people would say, why then you should put those kids together? Like, why did they come in and then, you know, why move a kid to the side? Why, what, you know, well, the reason why is because there was other things going on that, you know, other people that
they also took him out of his position too. I mean, they also moved him from the position he was playing to a different position to accommodate the new line,
which makes it, and I'm just like, it makes it even worse and more indefensible.
What I'm saying is, you can even be leading. What I'm saying is you can be, and he wasn't the leading scorer. He had the most points in the league. So he had a lot of assists.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on how you want
to take. Yeah, depends but on he also he scored five in a game too, so it's like he's scoring a lot too. You don't get to the top by not doing both. I'm just saying he wasn't the leading scorer in the league. He was the leading point getter in the league. Just you know, but it doesn't matter. You know, like it, but he moved well,
it,
him. And
it just
and,
I mean and, the big yeah. picture of it, aside from you know that personal thing that you know maybe some people will get out of this is like, oh, you know, I've gone through something similar, and I felt put upon. Yeah, well. You're not alone. But the other thing I would say is that the urban legend part of it is that hockey is a meritocracy and everybody gets what they deserve. No, that's crap. Like I've seen time and time again where it didn't, you know, some kid gets every opportunity, like you're saying, Lance, and somebody else's kid gets no opportunities. And a kid makes a mistake three times, and another kid makes the same mistake one time, and then the coach yells at him and benches him. I've seen it happen, and I'm not just talking about my kid, or I've seen it to happen to lots of kids. And it's the only thing I can say is, well, just don't go into hockey thinking that it's different from any other endeavor. And maybe this is another urban legend that
it's a glee club. It's a glee club.
That all coaches are somehow, they're somehow able to divorce their personalities and their human foibles and things from this endeavor of being a coach. And that they're, you know, like it's Hammurabi up there with, you know, behind the bench, who's, you know, coaching with a perfectly fair viewpoint on everything and just judging what they see with great wisdom. And a lot of times, that's not the case. The coach has got his buddy that he's playing his kids and his kid's friend a lot more because he likes that guy. You know, it's just human nature. And sometimes you're just on the outside of that. And your kids ends up suffering for it.
Right. You know?
Nice job with Hammurabi there. I'd also say that maybe, you can give a little bit more history lessons as well, coach. Nicely done. Yeah. I did have one ridiculous, what I think, is something that happens over and over that you don't, it's like, it's almost, you feel like it's a joke, but it just keeps happening. And this will go out to those of you who have had a coach who played defense in college or in their playing career, because the coach that played defense always wants the puck to go back to the points, and you're going to score most of your goals from points. Right. I have been on three teams where the kids were told, yeah, don't worry about all that offense stuff that you're trying. That stuff is crap. Just get it back to the points and let the defenders snipe, sharpshoot it into the corner, and we will win a game.
Yes.
That never worked. It, you get a goal every once in a while. You get a goal here, you get a goal there. But that's not the recipe for a winning team. I had two coaches, one which was down at the Rain and one which was down at the Bears. And that should tell you enough, but if it doesn't, both of these coaches were sincerely convinced that if you could get it back to the, you know, just take it into the zone, get it back, and those defensemen are just going to light up the scoreboard by, just with enough traffic or with enough this or with enough that. And ask me how many times that worked in the times that we played on those teams.
Well, yeah, can I counterpoint you though, Randy?
That's
please,
a good one.
No, Lance, I would rather go straight to Raleigh because I think he agrees with me. Go ahead.
Well,
Chuck.
I want to define this urban legend, which is that the point's always open.
Yeah, point's always open.
It's and
underused.
If you're down around the net and you're shooting pucks and the goalie's making a lot of saves.
He's making saves. Screw
then
that.
The way that you fix that is to pass it back to those open points because they will, then the goals will pour in.
Like rain. I don't know. I wish I had a historical reference, but yes.
Right.
Arrows
if the team
down
is
on
not
thieves.
Scoring.
Yes.
The reason why is because enough pucks did not go back to the point so that the defenders could shoot those pucks from two to three times the distance through three or four bodies.
A lot of bodies, but there'll be ricochets, there'll be taps, there'll be something, and it will go in.
And you know, any hockey heat map of high level hockey will show you that that's just a ridiculous fallacy, because most goals are scored around the net. When you see, you know, a team and somebody's charting all this stuff and where all the goals scored, they're scored around the net.
But if your coach was a defensive player, all he remembers is all of the lovely times that he scored from the point.
Right.
And I believe that is what influences these guys who are, you know, youth coaches. They're like, yeah, get it back to the point. That kid deserves to have some glory. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I think you should use the points. I totally agree with them. But it was almost like their entire offense went through the defense. And I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that
right. No, I agree with that too.
Is not, you know, it. Yes, there's times when you should do it situationally, and there, you know, you got to vary up your offense. But the funny thing about this too is, like, a lot of times coaches will say, "We got to get the defense more involved."
Yes.
Okay, I agree.
You remember that, coach? You were there, coach. You know I'm talking about.
But yeah. Randy, now, do you disagree with that though? That you need to get the defense more involved?
You know, Lance, for a straw man argument, yes, I do. I believe the defense should shut up, stay at the red line, and just sit there until. And if they wouldn't
your job
mind,
is to camp out there and keep a puck in if it comes.
Be so
rings
goddamn flat footed as my kid, the offensive player, pots goal after goal. But please continue, Lance.
Well, you know, I just wanted to finish my point, which is I do think that getting the defense involved is good. And the best teams do have the defense involved, but not in this way. The way they get them involved is with rotation, and also, you know, having defensemen who jump up to join rushes and be like a fourth man coming in, which you see all the time in the NHL. How often do you see that in youth hockey? How often do you see, coaches coaching that and teaching players how to judge and ways to, you know, exploit those things? I've been on plenty of teams where we never saw that an entire year, like not one time. It was very much just your job is to make
these chuckleheads some of these chuckleheads can barely handle skate from here to the blue line, though. Come on, you know that, coach. We've seen that too.
This is gonna be right. This is gonna be the month of where we just
run down goalies, run down defense, run down everybody.
Like, this is episode two or three now where we're just beating on coaching. But go ahead.
Yeah, boy, you guys are going at it with the coaches tonight.
Lance, we just, you know, the way I look at it is you guys are no longer in the thick of it. By the way, sometimes you ask for opinions and like I still have to show up at the rink, guys, because you're like, hey, which coach has been the biggest dick? And everybody's like and I'm like sitting there going definitely not any of the ones I know on a daily basis, right, guys.
Coach that my kid's going to be playing for next season's
definitely not a dick. And then
definitely
like,
not one of these.
I take it one
later,
step further.
Yeah.
I go to the rink and name names. I was like, did you hear what Randy said about you in last night's podcast?
Lance, we
cut you off because I hope you still remember because you were going to make a point.
Yes, my point was this, is that I've been on too many teams. Now, first I'll preface it by saying this. Randy's 100% right. As a matter of fact, I think one of our coaches, I can't remember who, did an analysis of youth hockey, and I think it was like 90% of all goals were scored like within 5-6 feet of the net. So that part I get. You're not scoring, especially at the young ages, you're not scoring from the point, but I've been on too many teams where it's 3-on-5 in the offensive zone. The three guys are trying to do everything, and they don't even realize there's two guys standing at the blue line. And the teams that were successful involved those guys. When it's tight down below and you can't, you know, they're plugging up everything, you throw the puck to the point guy, and it forces their team to spread out, and it opens up space for you. So
no, and by the way, Lance, have you ever had a coach that played defense?
Let me see. Have I ever had a coach that played defense? Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, that's what I'm talking. I've had two coaches that played defense, and this might only resonate with a very, maybe this isn't something that happens a lot. I'm posing it as a fallacy. Maybe some of the people out there in youth hockey wonderland will let me know. But in my two experiences with coaches that play defense themselves, they spend a lot of time getting the puck to the defense, and it's not wrong. You're right. You know, you must play all five players. Absolutely. But it was just funny that, you know, like, especially as a squirt, I remember, like, as a squirt, this coach was like, get it to the points and they'll rain. And I don't know if we scored
right
from the point once.
And they'll shoot
year.
And you go down and get the rebound, which
I don't know if they ever scored from the point.
It drives
year.
Me nuts because there's a lot of teams that we played on where there was, how many times did you see this where it's a flurry? Like your line is all over them. They're getting shots and the goalie's making saves and they're getting the rebound and they're getting a regroup and they're cycling and there's shot after shot and we're all over and like we hit a crossbar and then it goes back to the post, back to the point, and the point player is like, this is my chance, and he shoots the waist high wrist shot that the goalie gloves and to play, and then the line's off.
I'll do even worse, into the shins of the guy in front of it, bounces right. off, and the guy gets a 1-on-0 with your goalie.
Right.
That is what I am most used to from squirt hockey. Everybody get it to the point so Carl can shoot it into the shin pads right. of a guy who will then, like, go,
this is my chance. I got to shoot.
Break you out. Yeah.
Seeing the puck and then right yeah. into the shin pads, and then it's a breakaway the other way, and then you get scored
sometimes,
on.
Sometimes these kids, I noticed they waited until the kid got right in front of them. You know, it's like, I'm not kidding. I felt like there was like one kid, I still will remember, he would get the puck, he'd have an opening, and he'd just wait because he'd be like, oh no, I can't shoot now.
Yeah, he's loading up. He's like, I gotta draw in the pressure.
Yeah, like a bow.
But then instead,
like,
of passing it away from that pressure, nope, gonna shoot
right
it anyway.
Into the thing. And then it was off to the races. Sometimes that was a bad thing. But anyway, I hope that you know, that was a good topic, Coach. I think, is it, if anybody else would like to chime in on any other fallacy, I think because I'd forgotten that, I had two defensive coaches, and they really wanted to engage the defense. I like both of yours as well. I thought there were good ways to look at the sport and say, I don't have a first line. You do so. I mean, oh God. If any coach out there tells you he doesn't have a first line, just don't walk to the exit. Run to the exit, please. Because what they're trying to say is your kid's not on the first line. I think that's a polite way of the coach saying, I don't have a first line. You're like, oh yeah, okay, your kid's not on it. That's what he means. Because if your kid was on it, he'd be like, yeah, first line. Your kid will probably,
I won't be able to get your kid on the ice enough. Let me just tell you right now.
He may never leave the ice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see? Trying to do a jersey. You see? No, I can't do it. Yeah. I'm trying to do a gangster.
Exactly.
See? Yeah.
Games for us, Randy?
No, I didn't have any impersonations this time. I'm sorry. But those people out there in youth hockey podcast land, if you'd like to suggest someone or some personality that you know is at every rink, we'd love to hear from you. That's youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com, youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you say something nice about the coach, you'll be read on the air. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.